All right, how are you guys doing? This episode is sponsored by Manscaped. So we're going to kick this thing off with a little bit of Russia. We got to talk about China, which everybody seems to not enjoy China, especially YouTube, which he was just talking about before we kick this thing off. We talk about what? China, Iran,
Syria. Anything like that.
You're
in trouble. And there's even keywords within, because a lot of people get stuck in me about, why don't you talk about these other conflicts? And I've tried, but YouTube kill it straight away. And you can get strikes, whatever. YouTube really hate, especially Iran, hate you talking about it. Talking about factions there, whatever. Oh, it's not good.
Not good. Well, I've talked about China a few separate times. I got a strike for talking about remember the facilities they built for COVID? I just mentioned it in a video and we got struck. Still hasn't gone away. It's supposed to go away and it hasn't gone away. This was over a year ago, by the way. And guess what? Not only that, they won't even give me my YouTube play button because of it.
Hell yeah.
And I was going to give it to him because I was like, I've got a handful of them already. I'm just going to give it to Charles. Charles, you can have it. Yeah. That's the only one I've never been able to receive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I should make you one. I should just make you one. Let's just make him a fake one.
You absolutely can't talk about whatever you want to on this platform. No, you can't. I know there's other things, and that's why I got invited across to Rumble. I got a message from some leadership in Rumble, and we're like, hey, do you want to come across and host some of your stuff here? I'm like, oh, well, whatever. It's no deal to me. It's the same video, just uploaded somewhere else because YouTube.
But no, really no one's on Rumble.
No one. That's the problem.
No one's on Rumble.
It's like me, Andrew Tate, and Trump currently. like that's about it. But like,
no one's on Rumble. You don't see it crazier. It's no, like, I've been telling you guys this for weeks. No one gives a fuck about the Ukrainian war either. Go look at the views over the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks of Ukraine. Influencers or whatever you want to, report? Blogger. Whatever it is. Go look at them. 3 weeks ago, we were doing 120 to 150. Now we're doing like 60 to 70. No one gives a fuck. If you watch this around, you actually care. For the most part, the rest of the world has moved on. Summer's coming. Baseball just started today. Football's like, that's all people give a fuck about. They don't care about the war in Ukraine, which they probably should just a tad bit. Cause I mean, a point of the war, what we talked about a second ago before we actually hopped on here, where Ukraine needs to actually do something. If they don't do something here very soon, they're going to fuck themselves and they're going to lose all support whatsoever. Well, I was talking to Yuri, through DMs. I'll let you touch on this thing a second ago I know you're going to say about it, about them not being able to garnish the support from the West if they don't actually do something now. If there's no offensive that even takes place relatively soon. If like a channel like this one, which we were normally getting like 150 to 200,000 views, a video about the Ukrainian war every day, all the time, just like this. Now we're doing like 60 to 70,000 views. How do you think the rest of America feels? They don't give a fuck about it, like at all.
Yeah.
And it makes you kind of sad.
I think a lot of people do care. But I think a lot of the media currently is very repetitive because there's not that much happening day to day. So if you watch a video yesterday or a video of the day before, it becomes very repetitive. So, and I know I've seen that in my own content, like doing a lot of news map updates. I'm talking about Wagner Group has taken this one
street.
Not even that. Like yesterday I spoke of literally just like a building in Bakhmut. And I know it means a lot because there's probably been 1,000 people die between both sides to get that one building. But as far as interest, like public interest, it and I get it. I'm sick of talking about Bakhmut, Avdiivka, Mariinka. I'm sick. But it will pick up, I'm sure. And if it doesn't pick up, then Ukraine's in for a hard ride. Because at the end of the day, I think, and this is with like the Kharkiv and Kherson offensives, was Ukraine needed to show that they could actually seize and hold terrain, ground. And they did that and were successful and extended their support in this war.
Oh, extended tremendously.
Tremendously. Now,
support came like this. You know how much money, and like I say money, but you know what, supplies came so quick? Like 2 weeks later, they had new shit.
And there's been a number of American officials saying that these offensives can't wait. It looks like these offensives are ready to go, like any day. And, of course, the everything's spooling up around when it's going to be. Like the PSYOPs operation now between Ukraine and Russia is just huge. When it's going to go, what's going to happen. It's not going to happen. It is going to happen. It's going to wipe out everything. It's going to Moscow. It's going to Warsaw, depending on which way. Like it's crazy. But I do think that it needs to happen, and Ukraine do need to show that they can actually seize and hold this terrain. Because, and I've spoken about this a lot, that if this offensive was to fail or not be as successful as thought, there would be a lot of pressure, I think, mount of, hey, we need to find a diplomatic solution to this instead. And we know that, you know, Kyiv, they're like, we will fight to the last Ukrainian, we're not doing diplomatic solution. But at the end of the day, where this war goes is pushed by where the money and weapons are coming from. And this war is being pushed by the states and by the EU. So, you know, if the states and the EU say we're pulling our support unless, you know, you need to start finding diplomatic solutions, that's where this war will go. Like, it's Zelensky's at the driver's seat, but the person overarching him is absolutely the EU and the US. Because this is going to be, like, these offensives are going to be absolutely spearheaded by Western weapons, as far as tanks, whatever, and Western trained soldiers. These soldiers from Ukraine who have gone to receive NATO training and come back.
So, well, I know Yuri sent me a message. He said there's been a ton of infantry arriving in Donetsk City itself over the last few days. He sent me this yesterday. He said that luckily, though, their artillery from the Russian side of things are such on a shortage that they've resorted to actually going back and using tanks in IDF as IDF. That's how much of a shortage there is.
So,
it's time to mind your manholes with Manscaped. Everyone's aware by now that nose hairs are a major turnoff, except for Willie. He absolutely loves it. His girlfriend loves his nose hairs. I actually gave him something for Manscaped because I said those nose hairs were that bad. The Weed Whacker 2.0. Damn it. Try this again. The Weed Whacker 2.0. There we go. That's why Manscaped upgraded with the brand new Weed Whacker 2.0. Has improved blades and a motor. You guys could feel the power. And those nasty nose hairs he's got, annihilate them. They'll be all done. They'll be gone. They'll be in the palm of your hands. This improved Weed Whacker can now be found in the Performance Package 4.0 with no additional cost. You guys can save money and attack your nose hairs right now by going to manscaped.com and use the code SPEAK to get 20% off plus free shipping. Manscaped.com. Use code SPEAK and get 20% off plus free shipping. All right, so my wife actually enjoys me using Manscaped because my nether regions are nice and smooth like a baby's bottom, so it's really good. She loves it. I'm actually really glad that Manscaped came over here and they're helping us, like, clean out our, you know, it's spring cleaning time. You got to make this thing nice and smooth. You know, if you're having some issues, the Weed Whacker is going to help you guys out. They can help your face, which is amazing. They have the new Weed Whacker 2.0 nose and air trimmer, which uses a 7,000 RPM motor. Yes. This thing is not going to cut up your nose. It's going to cut your hairs out of your nose, but not pull your skin. It's got skin-scape technology, which helps reduce the nicks, snags, and tugs. The Weed Whacker 2.0 is cordless, rechargeable, and has a battery life of 45 minutes. I'm telling you guys right now, I use this thing, I prop my leg up on the wall, and I just absolutely get it. I'm getting all the way down from the sack to the chode clean, baby smooth, and I love it. It's great. My wife loves it too. So it does not matter which kit you guys choose. This is the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. I use this thing daily. This thing right here, this got 20 different sizes. This thing's got 20 different guards inside of it. It's easy, quick, fast. You don't have a big, messy drawer. I love it. No one likes having a messy face except for Willie.
Hell yeah.
He can pull it off. I can't. My wife absolutely hates it. So it's time to level up your guys' groom game and get the Weed Whacker 2.0 and nose and hair trimmer. You guys got to check them out right now. Save 20% off right now with free shipping. Go to manscaped.com. Use code SPEAK. 20% off plus free shipping. Go to manscaped.com. Use code SPEAK. That's 20% off and free shipping with code SPEAK at manscaped.com. Hey, from below up to top, best grooming, hands down, shop Manscaped. I literally gave this to you, this Weed Whacker, for a reason. To take home, because I'm telling you, your girlfriend's going to thank me later. I'm telling you, they sent me three of them.
What do you mean?
But I don't know why they sent me three. Maybe because I have like extra knowledge here. But that good, you need to use.
I don't need this.
I can assure you.
We have this.
Legit. What's that? The ball one is legit. The
ball one's legit.
It will. Oh, I gave you a ball sack one.
It's got the light.
Look at this. See, I'm.
It's got a light on it.
Yeah, it's got a massive light.
Feels like
light.
A Makita drill. Yeah. Light.
This is great. I'm literally making everybody's life that lives around me, this man, cleaner. I got my camera guy, his ball sack's getting cleaner by the day, which I did not know he was using the razor or the shaver I gave. That's great.
That's dangerous.
Manscaped's helping everybody out. Nobody even knows what's going on. Thank you so much, Manscaped. What a great ad. I love those.
Yeah, so I can't speak on how many, like how the artillery actually is looking for Russia as far as shells. From what I've been getting told, the shortage isn't shells, the shortage is barrels. And the barrels are wearing out. You know, like a M777 has a barrel life of about 2,000 rounds. You know, it can vary greatly depending on how much propellant you put on that round and the weight of the shell you're sending down. So different type of shell. But let's say 2,000. And America has worn through many barrels. They wore through barrels in Syria as well. And you can wear through barrels, and this is in all artillery pieces. And what I'm hearing is the Russian artillery has been so, by numbers, so huge for so long that they're starting to wear out these barrels. And I'm hearing that shells, that the Soviet Union and everything that Russia's using is Soviet stock, really, as far as like shells, is just huge in numbers. And we've seen this with tanks. There's got loads of it, and shells are one of those things. But it's barrels. And like you spoke on, the tanks are going to be bought in for IDF. Indirect fire is absolutely probably the case. So we've seen on the back of trains, Russian T-54s, T-55s, and people, I believe, wrongfully have gone, oh, this will get chewed up by a Leopard. And you're like, yeah, it would. If a Leopard 2, an Abrams, a Challenger, went head-to-head with a T-54, 55, yeah, there's going to be no chance at all. But ultimately, that's probably not what these are going to do. They're probably going to dig these into a bloody hole and use this as a 125 mil, which might not be that size in those, but a large mil cannon to use as IDF. Now, this comes with a number of issues because tanks have greatly reduced on their capacity as far as how many shells that gun can actually fire. But we've seen this happen. We saw this happen with Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan has a bunch of T-series tanks. So they've got T-55s and T-72s. And in 2020 against Armenia, they used T-55s to use in IDF artillery positions and T-72s then to roll in and actually do the clearing of those frontline sort of offensive tanks. And at the end of the day, these can fire thousands of metres, you know, thousands of miles. You know, you put the gun up on an angle, still works, still IDF, and you have enough of them, enough of these shells. End of the day, like, if you've got a tank, you've dig in a hole and put a tank down somewhere with the barrel stuck up, it's still a big thing. It's still, you know, another shell coming towards your position. Like, yeah, there's a lot of problems with it, but, you know.
Well, Russia right now is actually seeking munitions from North Korea. Not super shocking. The White House has put this out, and everybody's ate it up. Every single, that's because there's, like, nothing going on in Ukraine. So every single news outlet just magnetized to it. And they're now claiming there's new information that Russia is actively seeking to acquire additional weapons from North Korea in exchange for food. So I'm not entirely shocked that North Korea wants food for munitions.
I'm shocked that they want food.
I don't know.
As long as the leader there can eat,
he's got enough. I mean, that guy's got, he's got a buffet. I mean, there's no way that guy.
He's got some.
He's got some poundage.
Have you listened to Yunomi Park speak, the girl that defected from North Korea? She's on Rogan and a few other podcasts, man. It's just wild.
Oh, I have heard of it. Yeah.
He has like all these like sex mansions you can go to and stuff where there's like all these girls. It's just like, it's insane.
Imagine being the girl that has to have sex with that thing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's what you get. That's what you get in like an ultimate dictatorship. The last super dictatorship of North Korea. But buddy-buddy with Russia. And, you know, Russia need the allies they've got. You know, Iran, North Korea, China to a degree.
I don't know. They're worried about some arms deal between North Korea and Russia because it would violate a series of UN Security Council regulations. I mean, what the f*** does North Korea care about the UN Security Council regulations?
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of this that people are like this arrest warrant for Putin. And it's like,
okay,
I just won't visit a country that'll arrest me. Like, do you really think Putin, after this war, was ever going to visit France or Germany anyway? Like, he was not going to be able to. And the arrest warrant, but it's like, well, America, China, and Russia all have not signed that document. So it's like, well, whatever. And but the being reported that they're going to ship them to Russia, which I don't get, because Russia and North Korea share a border. So I don't know what the go is there. They share a small part of the border up.
Yeah, they've done on a train. They've done on a train. God. Other thing that's going on in Russia, which I guess we'll keep touching on here, is not really the fact they're stalled out the war completely, but it's a fact that their economy is actually taking a little bit more of a hit than they anticipated. So Putin came out talking about these illegitimate restrictions imposed on the Russian economy. Do you believe they're illegitimate or not?
Oh.
Yes or no? Yes or no? That's all you're
going to
say?
No.
Okay.
Meaning the sanctions against the Russian economy?
Yes.
The ones against the government and whatever are legitimate and they can be used. But I think some of the ones against some private individuals, especially ones that live overseas, are a bit...
I think go after every single one of them right now until it's overdone. Doesn't really matter. Anyway, he's saying that they may indeed have a negative impact in the medium term. He actually came out and said this publicly for the first time ever. Yeah. Putin said this, which is kind of interesting because he's talking about how strong they were. And I guess I would do it too if I was in charge of a country that was, I was a dictator of, no one really know the difference. But the economy has actually showed, we know this, surprising resilience. It has. It really has.
Oh, absolutely.
It has.
It's had far less effect than we thought it would. Absolutely.
Short term.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it shrank 2.1% last year. Okay. We knew this was going to happen. Now, this is what it gets kind of crazy. China has been throwing the Kremlin itself like almost a lifeline because they've been buying Russian energy and providing an alternate source of cash flow than just like U.S. dollars. Are like,
They're buying it a lot cheaper, though.
They're buying a lot cheaper, which is kind of good for the Chinese because it kind of pans out for both parties. This is where it gets crazy. The Russian government's cash flow, I guess you would say, their revenue has plunged 35%, okay, comparative year over year. Now, their expenditures have jumped 59%. I think I talked about this six or 7 months ago. There's absolutely no way the Russian government can continue on the same path with their spending to keep up with the war inside of Ukraine. And now it's starting to come out, and I was right. I feel good about it. Can I get a high five for that? I was high five. I was right about that. So they're down 35% year over year, but their expenditures are up 59%. So this is going to lead to a deficit of 1.76 billion rubles, which is $23.3 billion. That's pretty big. Is that not big or no? That's pretty big. Now, Russia's growth is actually going to be flat over this last year or this next year. Over the next medium term, which I don't know what medium term is, they're looking at a 7% decrease. So
there's no surprise in that. But no. I think one of the big things people saw in the beginning, and China does absolutely, has accused the UN of weaponizing foreign sanctions against Russia, that like you're sanctioning, you're weaponizing sanctions in a way to have an effect on a war. And we've done it everywhere. We've done it to Iran. We've done it to China. We've done it to plenty of countries. But they don't like that. But something a lot of people talk about is the ruble was actually a lot stronger after the beginning of the war. You see a dip on the 24th and then skyrocket. Do you know the reason of why that actually happened? A lot of people do. So basically what happened is, and a lot of Americans and Australians and people that live in like large countries far away from a lot of other places don't really carry much foreign currency at any given time. But if you live in Europe, it's very common to have a lot of foreign currency because you're going between a lot of European countries don't just hold the euro. A lot will have different currencies. So what they made it illegal for a Russian citizen to have any foreign currency. Now, if you're a Russian oligarch, you would have a billion rubles, but you'd also have a billion USD. So then any citizens then had to transfer all their wealth into rubles, creating that supply and demand shortage and artificially increasing for a degree of time the ruble. Even down to you here, like YouTube pays in USD. Like myself as an Australian YouTuber, I have to fill out a W-8 form with the tax office here, the IRS, whatever it is, and to get paid in USD. So I have an amount of USD at any one time. So do Russian YouTubers. And you hear a lot of Russian YouTubers talk about, as soon as you get that, it is illegal to not transfer it straight away into ruble. Now, of course, that's now done, but in the beginning, that was it. So it artificially increased their currency. But the Russian currency has not taken the dive that people thought it was. And that's because, Russia, geographically, is around a lot of developing nations. They're part of BRICS, which is, the biggest group of developing nations in the world. And they can sell, they've got a lot of stuff. That's what Russia has. They've got a lot of shit that they can dig up. And they don't give a shit about the climate sort of goals that we do, which is one advantage. If you're in the game of oil, coal, gas, things like that, you're in that, let's say, dirty business of that. Australia's in the same business. At the end of the day, Australia is a big hole in the ground. Our economy is that. If we're a farm or a hole in the ground, but more so we're a big mine pulling out. Problem is, well, if you want to make money in that, if you wiped every single idea of OH&S, climate emission control, all this crap, we would make, well, not crap, it's all important, but we would make way more money. And that's why Russian oil is so cheap. You think they give a shit about, down here this is happening? No. Pull it up. And that's why it's cheap.
Pull it up.
Yeah, that's why it's cheap. And, China's been able to capitalize on that massively by, hey, the West won't buy it, or the West has capped your barrels, like they've capped the price of barrels. Hey, we'll buy it at this price and import it across. And there's a new pipeline going from Russia to China. China need a lot of that. They need it cheaply. And Russia's got a lot of problems. And one of the biggest problems we haven't spoken about, much, and I haven't spoken about it across a lot of things, is Russia's biggest problem is people. It's replacement rate of their actual people. An aging population, very low replacement rate of people. And that goes bad very quickly. You've got more people that are looking at like sort of retirement age or dying off, and not as many young people. And Ukraine actually has very similar issues. A lot of countries have similar problems. But Russia's in a really bad spot over the next coming time. They're in a really good spot when we're talking about coal, oil, and that continually they will, people want that at cheap prices. It just, that will just continue, especially developing nations. We might, we think about, you've got an F-150 Lightning truck. Great. But developing nations can't afford $150,000 electric ute. Developing nations still are reliant on coal, oil, gas, things like that. So that's one thing in Russia's favour. But the actual people within Russia, they could have an absolute collapse of the amount of people there. And this is very long term, but it's interesting to look at the Russian economy as a whole. But it hasn't been affected in the same way. But if we did the same sanctions to China that we've done to Russia, it would be catastrophic both for them and us.
Well, Beijing actually just warned today of severe impact, is what they called it, against U.S.-China relations, as Taiwan leaders are actually landing inside of New York today to have a chat, which is not too entirely shocking. The president said he's actually preparing China for war. I said that backwards. Which I think everybody's pretty much known this. If you do not know this, I think I tweeted something out, I think, like a few weeks ago. I'm going to pull it up because it made a lot of sense. And a lot of people probably, where is it at? Right here. China's military spending budget growth since 2020. You ready for this? 6.6% in 2020, 6.8% in 21, 7.1% in 22, and 7.2% in 23.
Yeah.
That's not like 0.9%. That's literally how much growth it's had year over year.
It's
like
billions
of
dollars.
That's a ton of money. So China right now has the fastest growing military buildup since World War II of any country ever in history.
Really?
Yes, it's the fastest military buildup right now in history, like ever. I've gone down this rabbit hole way too much. I actually spent way too much time of my life looking at this.
Is it biggest by dollars or percentage?
Percentage of like stuff that they're literally physically building right now. It's the fastest one since Germany in World War II. Like it's that massive. It's huge. Right.
I thought it would have been like Saudi.
No, it's them right now. It's huge. The amount of stuff and money that they're putting into this thing. He says that he's also preparing for this war, but it's actually, he's thinking of 2027. This happened during one of their annual meetings. They had like an annual meeting that took like a week, basically. He actually stated this, in face of wars that may be imposed on us, he's talking about the Chinese. They're speaking their enemy's language, understanding how the use of victory and peace and respect. This is what they're just using big words here. All right, it's not big words, but trying to make themselves seem like the good people. The people's army is what they call them, insist on using force to stop the fighting. So now they're trying to make their army seem like the good guys.
The people's liberation.
Yes, they're the good people. So it's like since December, the Chinese government has also opened up like a slew of national defense mobilization offices. I'm not going to attempt to even say the provinces or the places they're in. I saw the list of them and it's like they took a frying pan and they threw it down the stairway. I could not attempt to even do this.
Yeah.
Like try to, I couldn't, like, the names are like this long. It's not going to happen. Now, at the same time, across from Taiwan and Fujian, I can actually say that one in that province, they begin building like an upgrading air raid shelters. And they built another like brand new like wartime emergency hospital right on the opposite side of Taiwan, which I know right now the Russians have built one just north of Kharkiv or in Belgorod.
Belgorod.
I think they built one there just for the same thing. So he says he actually wants China to end its reliance on imports of grains, which is another big deal because right now, and what was it? I think, what is it? More than a third of their net food intake is imported.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't more than that.
It's more than a third is what I could find. He's clearly willing to use force to take this island inside of Taiwan. Now, saying this, I'm not really certain that he believes that he can actually take it, but achieving these goals he put out that he wants to do by 2027. I don't really know if that's going to be a thing or not, because if he does do that, he's going to piss off our American government, depending on who's in office. Because by 2027, what are we in? 24?
23.
20, yeah, we're 23, so 24. So by then, it'll be who's ever going to get elected next, which at this rate, I don't know if it's going to be Republican or Democrat. I wouldn't even put, I don't know. I almost want to put a bet on it in Vegas. I wonder what the odds are in Vegas. I'm going to look it up.
Can you bet on that?
Yeah, you can bet on that.
So here we go. So in 2018, Brazil was the world's largest exporter of beef, providing close to 20% of total beef exports.
Hey, look at that.
Outpacing India. So two countries within BRICS of that alliance. So, and there's a lot of countries wanting to enter BRICS as well, rumoured, which is an issue when we look at some of the other countries that are looking at membership into that around some things. So, you know, there's a lot of rumour that Saudi Arabia and the UAE both want to join, both oil giants. Russia's an oil giant too, and could leave these sort of Western countries sort of out of the loop on some of that and maybe not getting the best deals. But that's just speculation from myself. But China is very reliant on that stuff. And China's weaponizing a lot of islands all up through that sort of region, all the way up north through like Australia too. They love weaponizing islands, doing stuff like that. But at the end of the day too, like, you know, America has the most offshore bases in the world of any country, all around the world. So it does just building something somewhere mean that you are looking for, you know, a head-to-head conflict, or are you trying to, you know, win over by some other means? I'm not really sure. China's idea to take Taiwan, there's a lot of problems with it as far as actual military might to do it. That, like, China could do it, but it would mean scorched earth, basically. And it would be incredibly unpopular. And, you know, it looks like the US would actually, boots on the ground, back Taiwan. But we're unsure as well. So it is a very interesting thing to talk about if Taiwan was to fall or not. But China as well, they've got huge population issues as well. You know, they got done lying about their population at one point. Replacement rate's terrible. So China's in a hard spot. China's in a hard spot.
But I want to end this one telling you the Vegas odds, by the way.
Send it.
You ready for this?
Wait, let's make a prediction right now of who we think is going to
win. Okay, you go first.
I think it's going to be Republican.
Okay.
I don't know the guy.
Oh, I think it's going to be Republican. I think it's going to be Ron DeSantis.
Right. That's who I think. Florida?
Yeah.
So DeSantis v. Trump?
Yes. And I do believe Trump's not. It's kind of funny as I pull this up, and that's exactly what Vegas thinks.
Well, so literally, what's the numbers?
The Vegas. Right now, Ron DeSantis, right now, Ron DeSantis is plus 225, and Joe Biden is plus 400. And Donald Trump is actually beating out Joe Biden as a better possibility to win that election in the Vegas' eyes.
There's nothing better than getting 80-year-old men fighting in charge. People that would have to be mandatory retired running the country of taxpayers, telling them how to live.
You know who's ahead of Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton? Is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I think I would have better odds running than Clinton.
Right now, you're saying right now.
Dude, The Rock would not be a bad option.
The Rock is actually ahead of both of them. That's really kind of goofy.
We've already proven you can be a celebrity and become president. I think The Rock would be very popular.
I don't know. I just had to throw it out there.
Mr. Beast. That's what we got. Mr. Beast.
I'm running for president next. Who wants to vote for me? I'd be good.
You need your hand on less of a 45-degree angle if you want to run president.
Yeah.
The danger zone's between here.
Oh, shit. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I hope you guys did enjoy this episode over here. We'll see you guys tomorrow with another one. I appreciate it. Maybe the war will kick off and get crazy here soon. I assume it's going to. All right, guys. All right.
See ya.